Democrat of the day. Let's do this. 25B, Liz Bolden is running for that House seat. It's an open House seat. DFL currently holds it. Let's get make sure we hold on to the seat. Liz is kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You are, we should mention 25B. That's kind of the north side of Rochester, correct?
It is. It's about the northern third of Rochester. That's right.
All right. So you are one of the few places in the state that gets hotter than us. Are you doing okay down there today?
I am. I love this weather. So this is just how I like it.
You're like my wife. I am a northern Minnesota kind of guy. I'm like 65 to 75. That's my window. Anything out of it, it doesn't feel right. But you're like my wife. She gets up in the 80s and even low 90s, and she's like, this is perfect.
Agree. Completely agree. I'm sitting outside right now.
Wow. Good for you. I'm sweating thinking of you sitting outside. Liz Bolden, let's find out exactly who is Liz.
Yes. So, again, thank you for having me. So, I am a nurse and I'm a mom. I have been caring for people most of my life. My first job was as a CNA in a nursing home when I was 15. And a job that was really hard, but I loved it. And it taught me a lot. And that led to my becoming a nurse. And after graduating with my bachelor's degree in nursing, I moved to Rochester to be a nurse. I didn't expect to live here forever. I sort of thought, oh, it'll look good on my resume, and then I'll move someplace warmer. But 18 years later, I am still here because I love it here, mm-hmm. and this is home, and this is where I want to be. And so I'm very much an introvert, and it was not my lifelong goal or thinking that I would run for office. I have certainly worked behind the scenes and sort of quietly on issues that I am passionate about for a long time. But long about 2016, I realized that working quietly behind the scenes was not enough and that I felt like I really needed to do more. As I said, I'm a mom. I've got three kids. I have a daughter who is grown and out of the house and in the Twin Cities, and then two teenage boys at home. And so I feel like I need to be able to tell them that I have done everything I possibly can to make the world a better place for them. And so I am looking to use my voice instead of being an advocate for patients and families like I've done for a long, long time, to be an advocate for all Minnesotans and to be part of building a just and inclusive Minnesota that works for everybody. The theme of my campaign is what I hope to lead as a legislature as well is all in. For a couple of reasons. One is that I am all in. I am a really hard worker, and I am all in to do the work on the issues that I care about, and that will make the, as I said, Minnesota a just and inclusive place for everybody. And then the second piece is all in because I want everybody to be all in. I want to be sure that everybody has a voice, everybody is cared for, everybody is safe. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Let's go back a little bit here. You're not the first person I have heard who said they've gone to Rochester for a job thinking, oh, it'll be a stepping stone. I'll get back into Minneapolis or Chicago or something like that. And they're like, I'm not leaving because Rochester is one of those places that's really – it's. I've lived in small-town America. Most small towns, most small cities, they don't have – what Rochester has, and it is truly its own little unique area, and it's adorable. Frankly, it's adorable.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a fantastic place to be. It's a great place for families. It's a great place for everyone. We've got a great mix of, and it actually is increasing of, maybe not right now, is where people aren't out and about doing things as much as maybe, you know, before, but you know, we've got cute little restaurants and, you know, cute little independent movie theater. And I mean, there are things to do here where there didn't used to be as much. And so it's a fabulous community. There's great neighborhoods. We've got great schools. It's an excellent place to be. And there's nowhere else I'd rather be.
I don't know any politician from the Rochester area where health care isn't a priority. You yourself, your life has been, you know, surrounded by it. I found it very interesting. 15 years old, you're working in senior homes. That's, you know, you have definitely got a life experience here. You know, as you talk about that decision to run for office, talk about where your frustrations with where we are going and what you are seeing as far as healthcare and healthcare for the society, where that crosses over and what you want to bring to, you know, for your District 25B in St. Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, as you said, as a nurse, healthcare has always been near and dear to my heart. And, you know, right now, as we're in a global pandemic, healthcare is certainly at the forefront of most people's minds right now. And so I think there's a couple of things with that. You know, we need to be sure that everyone has access to quality and affordable health care. We're seeing right now with COVID-19 that, you know, millions of people have been out of work and lost their jobs. That also means that they have lost their health insurance at a time when we are in a global pandemic. And so that is a problem. We need to get away from having our health care tied to our jobs. Everyone is deserving of health care. It's a human right. We need to be sure others are cared for. And we're seeing right now that, you know, the health of my neighbor affects me as well. So it's not only the ethical and right thing to do to be sure that everyone is cared for, it's the practical thing to do to be sure that everyone is cared for. We also need to look at disparities within our healthcare systems. We are seeing that come to light, certainly now, again, with COVID-19. There are differences and racial disparities that we're seeing with that, and we need to address that.
Especially as we get in, you're talking about racial disparities. I don't know if you saw the story the Star Tribune yesterday, where they're talking about the COVID-19 and the fact that it is affecting African-Americans and Hispanic citizens far more than it is the Caucasian population. And I'm not saying the Caucasian population is getting off easy here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is a very you know, in the aftermath of what happened with George Floyd, we are starting to have some real good discussions here about, you know, the differences between the classes and what is available to the Caucasians and white of America that is not generally available there. From your perspective, I mean, how is that something we can address? I mean, from a legislative aspect, how can you look at making sure that that system is more equitable?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that is something we absolutely need to look at, and something I think that isn't talked about enough is that sometimes we talk about, oh, the system is broken. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not. The system is working exactly as it was designed to work. That's how systems work. And so we need to dismantle the system in terms of those racial disparities and create a new one that is equitable and works for everyone, because we are absolutely seeing that it's highlighted with COVID-19, but COVID-19 didn't create these issues. We had disparities before. They're just more, we're seeing them in a way now that we hadn't seen them before. And we being white people, because people of color, black people, they know that these disparities have existed. It's, you know, largely white people, we didn't recognize this and many of us and see this beforehand.
Well, and I love what you just said. The system works. The problem with healthcare in America isn't quality. It's the best healthcare on the planet. It's accessibility. And it always has been accessibility. This was the entire point of the Affordable Care Act. It was the entire point of this. And it's got to be frustrating that we, as a healthcare professional, I've talked to many doctors and nurses who said, oh, good, we finally started to address it. And now they're trying to undo the whole thing. And not only that, but they've got their eyes on Medicaid, Medicare as well as undoing that. You know, the reality is that we shouldn't have a society with the quality of health care that we have, the ability to save people's lives, to extend life for all Americans. We shouldn't have a system where we're looking at the 1880s as our role model.
Absolutely. And in a time, again, I'll go back to, you know, we're in a global pandemic. And so to be having discussions about taking health care away from people in a global pandemic is unconscionable. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so that's why, you know, one of the reasons it's so important to vote for people who share your values.
Liz Bolden is joining us right now. She's the DFL candidate here for 25B. Let's talk about one of the things I definitely like to talk to people about in Rochester is you guys have, I'd say in the last 20 years, there's been some nice steps forward as transportation down in that area. But transportation is another issue. And it's not just one of the things which I want to make sure this is not about just making sure the highways to Minneapolis, St. Paul and to Rochester are good. I mean, you have a growing city. And as we've seen, I mean, growing cities need an effective transportation system. Rochester does pretty good, but there's a lot of areas where they need, I mean, as that growth continues, and, you know, it's one of the attributes of Rochester. Like you said, you move there, people stay there. Talk a little bit about what you'd like to work with in the district, in your district particularly, as far as transportation issues.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you're right, we are an expanding community. And so transportation is key, and accessible transportation, affordable transportation. And I also would pull in climate change to this as well, the climate crisis, and making sure that we are having building infrastructure and transportation that is climate friendly. And so, you know, there's different aspects of that. And certainly I think transportation, as you mentioned, between Rochester and the Twin Cities is one piece of that, but also transportation within our community. And so whether that's busing, there's been you know, movement with bike lanes, and there's, you know, a lot of discussion about that, and people feel very strongly one way or the other about that. But as we grow and expand, we absolutely need to keep in mind how do we build that infrastructure of transportation systems that work for, again, that work for everyone.
One of the issues that I've talked with a lot, and not only in areas in the metro area but outstate, is the broadband issue. Now, most of the metro areas, I'm going to believe 25B, looking at the map of your district, it's relatively, you know, you've got good internet access here. But we're talking about, as we change in medicine, accessibility, as we're talking about, the ability of the Rochester doctors to be able to service a much larger client base, especially rural Minnesota, where we have seen the closing of hospitals in rural Minnesota. It might not necessarily be an issue that affects you directly as far as your local citizens, but it's definitely something that, as we talk about healthcare, we talk about the business strategy for Rochester, a broadband expansion through southern Minnesota, it's different, because a lot of communities are like, we don't even have internet right now, so we need broadband. But for you guys, it's kind of getting ahead of the wave there, where you can say, you know what, let's have Rochester doctors in these rural communities where they don't have a hospital, so that we can at least give them some, you know, broadband online medical treatment, and see where we and where we need to go from there.
Absolutely. It's a very important issue, and for multiple reasons, one of which you just said it, and we are seeing, again, COVID-19 has brought us to look at things differently, and so that telemedicine is absolutely important. And so for us here to be able to connect with people all over the world and all over rural Minnesota, broadband absolutely is a piece of that and is very much needed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A delightful trip down to Rochester. I'm going to encourage everyone to head on down. We are in the age of COVID-19, which means that volunteering particularly takes a different face. But donations, there are needs for volunteers. If you're in a DFL district, especially Minneapolis-St. Paul, where you're relatively safe, great. Help out your local politicians, your Senate and House, by all means. But then take some time and get down. We need to hold 25B. This is, like I said, it's Rochester. It's currently held by the DFL, but we need to make sure the DFL is holding the seat to maintain that House majority for the DFL. If anyone would like to help out, donate and volunteer to your campaign, Liz, how do they do that?
Absolutely. They can visit my webpage, which is lizbolden.com. Bolden is B-O-L-D-O-N, like bold on the issues. Or check me out on social media. Certainly I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Happy to have help from anyone who would like to volunteer. We are doing phone banks every Tuesday and Thursday evening, reaching out to folks and hearing what's important to them. I am doing every Saturday morning. I'm doing summer Saturdays with Liz. So every Saturday morning between 9 and 10 a.m., I have an open Zoom call. You can get information about that on my webpage as well. I encourage anybody to join me and just pop in. And if you want to ask questions or share what's important to you, would love for people to get involved.
LizBolden.com, LizBolden.com, LizBolden.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Liz, all my best. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
You too. Thank you so much.